Okay. My name is Julie Peck. I'm 72 years old, and today is August 17th, 2020. We are in the middle of the pandemic. I'm speaking with Barbara Weber, who is a friend of mine as a result of our both being members of OSHER, and I'm looking forward to getting to know her better. I'm recording from my home in a suburb of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Mequon. Barbara?
And my name is Barbara Weber, and I am 79 years old. Today is August 17th, 2020. I'm speaking with Julie Peck, who is also my friend from OSHER. We do lots of classes together, and especially history.
Yes.
And I'm recording this interview in my home, which is in Shorewood, Wisconsin, a suburb of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay, Barbara, so to get oriented, how old were you in 1960?
I just started my, no, I think I was 20. No, I was 19. It's hard to remember.
It is. So this.
But anyway, since I was born in 1941, I didn't turn 20 until 1961.
Sure. Okay. But so, no. Basically, this was the decade.
I was in my 20s. Yes.
Yes. Okay. And what were you doing then?
Well, actually, I had just gotten married, and my former husband, he's my former husband now, was in the Coast Guard. So we moved to California, Long Beach, California. That's where he was stationed, and I started a whole new life.
Oh, Barbara, were you a native of Milwaukee?
Yes. Well, pretty much. I mean, I had been, I grew up in Milwaukee, basically, okay, from the time I was about 10. But okay. I started out in Lake Mills, Wisconsin.
Oh, I see. Smaller town.
Yes.
Very small. And so when you moved to California, were you newly married?
Yes.
Oh, wow. What a big move.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And then what?
Well, let's see. I guess I wanted to say that I have a frame of reference for the 60s. And it has to do with the fact that I left Milwaukee, moved out to California, lived in California while I had my oldest daughter and then my son. And then we moved to Hawaii in 1965, I believe it was. And that was right after the Watts riots in Los Angeles.
Were you in the Los Angeles area?
We were actually in San Diego. My daughter was born in Long Beach. My son was born in San Diego. And I think the riots were in LA, if I'm correct. And we left California shortly after the Watts riots. We didn't return to, and that means that we left the mainland of the United States. Hawaii, of course, was a state for a couple of years anyway. And but at that point, it was really remote in the sense that there was no live television. Local television was live, but anything that was national, TV shows, newscasts, we did not get those because there was no means of broadcasting over the ocean.
Oh, sure. How did you
in
get
fact, the what?
How did you get your news? A news?
Well, it was local news, and television shows were a week delayed. So it was an interesting experience. Of course, that's just the way it was. So I didn't really pay that much attention to it. And the first time that there was live television was when they put up the Lonnie Bird satellite.
I don't know that satellite.
Okay,
it wasn't significant to me. I'm sure it was very.
To us, it was very significant because for the first time we were watching live television, and you know what it was. The Green Bay Packers Ice Bowl.
Just in the nick of time.
That was our very first experience with live television. Here we are in Hawaii, and it was really an ice bowl.
It was really an ice bowl. You know, there are a lot of people who might listen to this who don't remember the ice bowl, but it was serious. I mean, it was like 20 pounds or something like that, wasn't it? Oh, my gosh. Were you watching it in your flip-flops and your shirt?
Probably. Shorts.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And then we were there for about close to 3 years. My daughter was born there. And then we moved back to the mainland. And where did we move to? Staten Island, New York.
Oh.
Talk about culture shock. And that was right after the demonstrations and problems at Columbia University.
Oh, wow.
So my frame of reference is being completely away from all of the firsthand things that were going on between the Watts riots and the demonstrations at Columbia University.
Wow. And tell me about the demonstrations at Columbia. Was Columbia close to you geographically?
Well, we were on Staten Island, which is a borough of New York.
Okay.
New York City.
And is Columbia also Staten Island? I'm sorry, I'm really...
No, okay. Columbia is part of Manhattan. Columbia University is the northern part of Manhattan Island.
Okay.
So that was just, I mean, in many ways, coming to New York from Hawaii was quite a culture shock. And it was also in 1968 when all of those other events happened.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, it was such a momentous year. And in some ways, personally, it was too, because we went from a place where we were so distant from everything to a place where everything was happening right in our backyard.
Oh my gosh. And how did that affect you?
Well, actually, it was quite stimulating. I was happy about that part of it. I mean, there were other things that were not so happy because that was on a personal level. But it was really refreshing to be in New York where there was all these things going on. The other thing that happened when we got there late summer. And I was just reading about this in an old New Yorker magazine. That fall, my daughter was entering first grade, my oldest daughter. There was a teacher strike.
Oh.
The first of all the teacher strikes was in New York City. And she didn't start first grade until the middle of November.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So the schools didn't open at all.
No. Well, I think they might have opened for a day or two, and then the teachers went on strike.
Oh, wow. While I became a teacher in 1968, it was rural Illinois, and so I didn't remember really that is either when or where.
Right. And if we hadn't been in New York, it may not have even registered.
Yeah.
But it was a big deal. In fact, I just was, just the other day, I was reading a New Yorker article that from, I think the issue was back in March, and they were talking about that as a historical event in reference to some other stuff with the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, if I start reading it, oh, I think we were in New York about that time. Oh, yeah, that was our experience.
Wow. So then did your daughter just have part of a school year as her first year?
Well, I mean, what I do remember is that finally, and this is one of the things that was in the article too, is that teachers started setting up shop in churches and other kinds of buildings. And I remember we went to start school probably within the week of them reopening at a church.
Wow. I wonder if those were teachers who opposed the strike, because it seems it would have weakened.
No, they didn't. No, that it was there. It was, I could actually go and get the reference,
yeah.
But I'm not going to bother. That's too much work for us. But the teachers union was the one that called the strike.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Wow.
So I go from a place where there's really not anything vital happening firsthand to this craziness, which really kind of made me feel alive. You know, in rather than feeling bombarded with information, I felt stimulated in a positive way.
Yeah, I recently heard an interview. It was a podcast I was listening to about efforts to integrate schools, a middle school. And one of the women said that she had lived in the suburbs and she'd grown up in the city. She moved to the suburbs to raise her kids, and she said it was just boring there. There was nothing happening. I needed to be back in the city. And yours was much more extreme than suburbs to the city.
Yeah, right.
Oh my goodness. I want to go back to something you referenced, because I remember there were demonstrations. I mean, I remember there was unrest at Columbia, but there was unrest at many major campuses.
Right.
What do you
Berkeley,
remember there, about
and,
Columbia?
And even the riots that they had in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I missed those completely. I heard my brother told me about him. He was living in Milwaukee at the time. But, you know, I've read some things about them since. And it's It's a history lesson to me. I didn't experience them at all.
Yeah. Now they were like 1967, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And so that was, you were in Hawaii at the time. No. Right. Yeah. Yes. Hawaii at the time. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow. I mean, the other momentous things that happened were, I mean, that year was so momentous. And I can remember standing on the porch, because radio, of course, was live.
Oh, yes, sure.
And listening to Johnson's speech, President Johnson's speech, and having him talk about all kinds of things. And at the very end saying, "I choose not to run again."
Oh, yes.
And I just remember walking in the house and being absolutely shocked.
Yes.
Some of those things stand out.
Yes.
And then on our way between Hawaii and New York, we stopped, of course, at my parents living in Milwaukee. That's when Bobby Kennedy was shot. We were in Milwaukee on the way to New York. And so these are the events that happened, particularly in 1968.
Yes.
Really had a frame of reference in terms of my physical location, my geographical location. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
Of course, the first one was Martin Luther King getting assassinated. But because we were so distant from all of the civil rights demonstrations, it didn't have a real big impact on me. I mean, I knew it was happening. I knew it was important. But firsthand, I wasn't really experiencing any of the demonstrations.
What was the culture in Hawaii when you were there in relation to racial inequality? Was that a part of what was happening there?
You know, it's hard. It's hard for me to remember. I mean, we were military, so we had our own little subculture.
Yeah.
A lot of Coast Guard people where I lived. And except I do know the Marine Corps birthday. It's November 10th. Why do I know that?
Yeah, why do you know that?
Because I was pregnant with my youngest daughter. She was due at the very beginning of December. I woke up from a nap and said, "Something is wrong." And I had a placenta previa.
Oh.
And we weren't even anywhere near Tripler Army Hospital, which is where she would be born. We were way on the other side of that island. My husband, of course, was at work in the Honolulu side of the island. And I just didn't know what to do. But my neighbor, who was in the Marine Corps, had just gotten home from work because it was the Marine Corps' birthday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was very interesting. So he took me to the hospital, and of course, some things proceeded from there. But
so you didn't call your husband on the cell phone?
Oh, yeah, that cell phone. Now let's see, that ancient cell phone.
Yes.
Before they had flip phones, before they even had those big clunky things. How do we ever get along without that?
Yeah, stuff? Yeah. There were ways it was worse, and a lot of ways it was better too.
Right.
How were you able to reach him? Did you have to work through an officer?
You know, I honestly don't even remember.
So if you wonder,
to be honest, I don't. I have no memory of that. I don't know how we connected.
Was your daughter born then? Did you go into labor, and your daughter was delivered then?
Yeah.
And everything was okay.
Yes, there were some minor issues, but everything worked out just fine. But I mean, what was interesting to me, and I graduated high school in 1959, so we're talking about entering the 60s.
Right.
And I went to 1 year of college in Madison. I went to 1 year of college at UWM, and then I got married and went to see the world, so to speak.
Yeah.
Started out in Long Beach, California, moved to San Diego. San Diego by far was my favorite of all the places I lived. And we lived a little bit east. I have to say east. My tendency when you go away from the water is to say west.
Yes.
But in California, it was east.
Yes.
So we lived a little bit east of the ocean, and we had lovely weather. It was called Lemon Grove, California. And let's see, then that was where my daughter was born. My oldest daughter was born, not in a military hospital. when we went down to San Diego, and at this point, my husband had what they call, I don't know, it wasn't really shore duty, but he was on small boats that patrolled parts of the harbors. So he ended up, when we ended up going down to San Diego. And the other thing that I remember about that, when you talk about how you help people, when you learn how to get help from people, because there I was without any family. My son was about to be born. This was in 64. And, you know, I had neighbors, but I didn't really have any close friends because I grew up in Milwaukee. And I remember thinking, if my son decides to be born when my husband is, on weekends, he would be patrolling some of the lakes in Arizona. When he's in Arizona, what do I do? And a neighbor that I really didn't know very well came over and said, I understand from some other neighbor that this is your situation. Please, I'd be happy to take you to the hospital. I went, thank you. And I said, I don't know how to help pay you back. And she said, you'll pay it forward. That was the first time I ever heard that. And it really stuck in my mind. You don't necessarily have to return a favor. You just need to know that at some point you'll do a favor for somebody else.
Yeah. That's a cool thing to learn at that point in your life.
Yeah.
And remember, it's interesting, some things you hear throughout your life that just like stay with you. And it's like,
That. And then you have the experience.
Right. Yes. Is he or he the one who took you to the hospital?
I think my husband was home.
Okay. He was home. So you were a military wife during the Vietnam buildup. Did it affect you and your family?
When we were in New York, he ended up being on what they call weather patrol boats, and he did go overseas. The most difficult part.
To Vietnam?
Well, in those waters.
Okay.
I mean, the Coast Guard was still a harbor facility, and he was on what they call a weather ship.
Okay.
Which I guess monitors some of the weather in the area.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about this in such a long time that I'm not even sure I know how to answer it. But the interesting thing was that one of the other things that I remember, these are kind of like life lessons, is that at certain times I had to be completely independent and in charge of all three kids without any help.
Yes.
And then he would come home after being gone for a month or so. And all of a sudden we were a family of five. And I had to kind of adjust to what parts of my life do I depend on him for now that he's back? Because for all this other period of time, I was managing it myself.
Yes.
And so that was kind of a weird adjustment too.
Yes. But you said his absence was limited to a month or so.
Well, it depended. I mean, once we got to New York, he was gone for when we got to New York, and he was stationed off of what was then Governor's Island, which I understand now is some kind of a tourist park. That was the Coast Guard base. At that point, they did some tour. That was in the middle, very in the height of the Vietnam War. And they were doing some patrols over in the Southeast Asian waters. So at that point, he was gone for several months.
Wow. And so you were a single parent for those.
Yeah.
That time.
But it foreshadowed my being a single parent.
Yeah. Yeah. But I can really see the stress that, I mean, because in those times, there were still pretty traditional male and female roles.
Yes.
And decision maker, you know, just the whole traditional thing. And you had to break those in order to provide.
For a limited amount of time.
Yes.
And then figure out how I was going to adjust once we were back. And of course, you know, that was a time where some of the issues in communication between couples was really not that well known.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of the things that you talk about, that you practice some of those little games or whatever they call them. We had no opportunity to do that.
Oh, no.
We didn't know about that.
Yeah, I was married to my high school sweetheart for 4 years. And I think about how poorly we handled our growing apart. The ability to communicate and the expectation, I think, on my part, mm-hmm. you weren't supposed to speak up.
And of course, I had gotten married without a lot of, it wasn't that they didn't support me and I had a wedding, but it was a feeling of, I'm doing something out of the norm for my cohort group and my close friends.
Yes.
And so I think I also felt like, well, you better not complain very much because you are the one that made these decisions.
Oh, yes. And as we've thought about this project, it really has been very interesting to me to think about the 20-year-old me and how different we become over time.
Yeah.
Are there other experiences that you have thought of that you want to make sure you share?
I'm looking at some of the questions. I've talked a lot about what stands out in my memory, and mostly it's that transition from being in this kind of isolated place. One of the things that I remember being very conscious of, when first of all living in California and a couple different places and then in Hawaii and then going to New York, was how important history was to me and how every place that I lived, it was really important and valuable for me to get some kind of history of the place. And again, I just thought of that right now, that's always been a very strong interest of mine, to get some perspective on the whole picture of where I'm living based on how it developed.
Yes.
So here I am in a history group.
Yeah, that's how we met each other. History group. That really is interesting. You made choices that expanded your experience so much geographically and culturally.
Mm-hmm.
And my life remained rather insular during that time. It's so different. My interest in history has really been a more recent one because I already knew all the history of the place that I've been. But that's really interesting. Now I want to do that when I travel. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you do too. You've traveled
quite a bit. Yeah.
You do want to know the history of the place.
Yeah.
I want to come back to the question about Hawaii. Was there, either in the Coast Guard or in your, whatever your experience was in Hawaii, was there any, do you remember any evidence of the racial strife that was taking place?
No.
In that group? Was your group mostly white?
Yes.
Exclusively?
Yes. I'm trying to remember. There may have been a few at that point, Negro, which I understand is really an old fashioned word. But there were a number of Blacks, Coast Guard people that were friends of ours. I can't remember anybody specific. But yeah, there was some diversity within the Coast Guard, probably limited. And those were some of our friends. Neighbor-wise, I honestly don't remember the diversity in terms of the neighborhood. Although, I mean, because of the kind of housing that we had, it wasn't military housing, but it was housing that military lived in because of the way it was built, where it was located, the rent. So most of the people that I lived with in those areas were military, particularly in Hawaii. When we lived in California, it was a little bit more diverse. But again, I was in with San Diego, it was kind of out in the suburbs, that you might call them the suburbs. Long Beach, we were right in the heart of the city. And I do have an interesting experience that I've been thinking quite a bit about. It's almost embarrassing to talk about it, but I think it's important. And it didn't really occur to me how important this event was until we had the most recent demonstrations in Milwaukee and then across the United States. When I started to look at racial diversity, I guess a little bit differently, with maybe a little bit of a different perspective. And I was remembering when we first moved to Long Beach, and we went to find an apartment, and we needed, at that point, needed a furnished apartment. We had no furniture. And we found a place that we liked. And it was late in the day, and there were not too many people around. We came back the next day, and there were a bunch of African-Americans outside doing their thing, you know, cleaning their cars, getting groceries, what normal people do. It wasn't any big, there was nothing notable of it, other than the color of their skin. Having lived in Milwaukee, though, where there was such a geographic difference, yeah. I said to my husband, I don't want to live here. And he said, why? And I tried to explain, and he really didn't understand what I was talking about. Right now, when I think back on that, I'm quite embarrassed, because I really had, it was because of my experience where there was so much segregation in Milwaukee, that in my mind, this was a good neighborhood and this was a not so good neighborhood. And if there were a lot of people of color, it was probably not so good a neighborhood. I had no frame of reference other than my own personal experience in Milwaukee. So as I say, it's a little embarrassing. I'm saying it in public right now. Well, but it was an important new awareness that I had just within the last couple of months.
Remembering that reaction.
Remembering and realizing that even though I was pretty open-minded all along, there was that part of me that still had, back in the 60s, that still had this feeling of, this might not be a real safe place to live.
Yes, isn't that interesting? I also have and had in the 60s my own experience with discovering how instinctively kind of racist I was. Mm-hmm. And it is really distressing to the rural me at age 72. I wouldn't ever have, it would never have been intentional, but it was there. It was planted there.
Right.
That is really, really interesting.
I had not planned on saying that in this interview, but yeah, it seemed like the appropriate time to bring it up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. My mother-in-law is here this weekend, and she and her husband had persuaded their daughter to go to a college that was not a good choice. And it did affect the rest of her life. And my mother-in-law was feeling very guilty about this. And I'll tell you the same thing that I told her. And that is, you know, you can't kind of look at decisions you made then and instincts you made then and weigh them necessarily against who you are today. It's all part of getting to here.
Right. And my perspective on it today is, wow, I just realized something about, I'm learning something about myself.
Yes.
That's my perspective.
Yes, yes. What prompted you to remember that? Was it this project of thinking about the 60s?
No, it was the demonstrations.
Oh.
The current demonstrations, for some reason, that jogged my memory.
Yes.
Of yes. How innocently we can become aware of our biases.
Yes. Yeah.
And without even realizing at the time that they were.
Yes. It's those biases that you never recognize that are the ones that kind of keep causing you difficulty. It is a growth experience to realize that, you know,
And so
I'm not still there.
And that's why it's so interesting to me that after decades, 5 decades, 6 decades of not even thinking about that, the demonstrations in Milwaukee right now, currently, have given me a new awareness of my own way of thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that to me is progress.
Yes, it is.
Also, I mean, to me, any day that I learn something is a good day. So it may not have been a really nice thing to learn about yourself, but I learned something.
And when you're nearly 80, certainly learning something is a very good thing. Yeah. Very good thing. I want to know that one of the questions, do you feel the 60s shaped your worldview? Have you thought about that question, how the 60s shaped your worldview?
Oh, probably in lots of different ways. I mean, certainly it shaped my worldview in terms of being in different parts of the country. And also being in the military. That was a new thing. I kind of lost my train of thought there for a minute. I guess I'm not really sure what I would have thought of as a worldview at that time. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself. I mean, I learned at some point that this was probably not a good relationship and that it was important to make some decisions about that. I don't know. I mean, this is an important thing that I learned. And that's about learning. Because because I dropped out of school. And I dropped out not because I didn't like school. I was always a pretty good student and I liked learning, but I dropped out because I didn't know where I was going. And it seemed important to get married.
Yes, it was very important to girls then.
Yes,
It
yes.
was.
So I don't regret it because I just have such admiration for my own children.
That's wonderful.
But I think when I got back to New York is when I began to realize what I had missed by dropping out of school. And that it was time to think about that. And so as soon as I got back to Milwaukee when we were going to be separated, one of the first things I did was enroll in UWM.
Good for you. Good
It
for you.
was so important to finish my education.
Yeah.
And that, in a way, turned out really well because that we're getting a little bit beyond the 60s because I went back to school in 1971.
That's okay. That's okay.
I kind of lost my train of thought there. It's just that it was really important for me to. Oh, I know what I was going to say. That the whole idea of going back to school as an with some adult experiences
Yeah.
was so different
Yeah.
than the students in my class.
Yeah.
I remember the first exam that I took, and the students being so upset with the instructor and the way he asked the questions. And I remember thinking, I don't know what they're upset about. He's just saying, what have you learned in the class so far? To me, that was just a simple question, but my processing was different than it was when I was at that point, I was in my late 20s. I was out of school for 14 years.
I want you to know how maybe you're aware I worked. My work was in executive search, and I have always had such admiration for people who managed to go back and complete a degree as an adult with kids and responsibilities. You know, those of us who went right on to college after high school, it was such a different experience living in the dorm, having such a social free time that a lot of the time you went to college because you wanted to have the fun of college, as opposed to the commitment that you made with kids and responsibilities and going back to school to get a degree. I just really, really admire the fact that you did
Well, thank you, but you have to also realize that it was the 70s and all kinds of crazy things going on then. I
that.
had some wonderful parents who did a lot of babysitting. Well, I did some pretty crazy things in
Well,
the
you kind of skip the crazy, the normal time for crazy.
Exactly.
I guess we all have a certain allotment of crazy things we have to do in class. We find the time to do them. I did mine after I was divorced. That's when I did my crazy things. Because until then, I was just like, too busy being what I was supposed to be. So we have 5 minutes remaining.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, anything else you
Oh,
want to
there's so
add?
many things that you're stimulating my mind about, that I'm looking qu taking a quick look at some of the questions,
Yeah.
and I think I've really handled most of them.
Yeah.
It was just a, it was a such a momentous time, and everything was changing. Everything was changing.
Everything was changing. I have to ask you, where were you when John Kennedy was shot, and how did you learn about it?
It was my daughter's first birthday.
Oh.
She was 1 year old that day.
Gosh, I'm sorry.
And my mother and I were outside playing. She had just, you know, she was walking and toddling along and loved to wear to play in the mud. It's hard to put a dress on her, but
Well,
she
we're in
is.
California, right?
Yeah, we were in Long Beach.
Okay.
No, yeah. No, I think we were already in San Diego. We were in San Diego by then. And my mother was visiting, and there was a neighbor across the alley that I wasn't completely friendly with, but she was, you know, a neighbor. And she kept coming out on her porch. And, you know, I'm looking at us. And finally she said, "Do you have your TV on?" Of course, we didn't. We were playing. She said, "The president's been shot." And of course, we just immediately went in the house, turned on the television, and but it's so her birthday is the anniversary of his assassination.
Wow. Yeah, we turned our TV on and didn't turn off for the whole weekend.
Right.
And then Sunday morning we watched, well, who was it? Jack Ruby. Oswald. What was his name? I'm only getting
Harvey, Lee Harvey.
Lee Harvey. Yes, I wasn't getting the first name. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Was that, you know, were you a Kennedy fan? Was that a
Oh
moment?
yes, I mean I couldn't vote for him, but of course that was when I was finishing high school. I was starting college. I mean, it was a whole new world when he got elected,
Yes, it was a whole new
and
world.
so it was very exciting. And the tragedy just really, you know, just stunned everybody.
It did. That is the word. That is the word, stunned. Well, we have 3 minutes left, so I guess we should wind this up. And
Okay.
I did know that I would enjoy getting to know you better, but I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
And this was really fun. I'm really looking forward now to talking to other people.
Yes,
And
no,
we even figured out how to do it.
yes, I am too. Yes, we have. So,
I look forward to when we can meet again, but also on Zoom. It's nice to have that.
well,
I think you think a little bit like I do, Julie. I like your organization.
I think it's my lack of organization, actually.
Okay.
Let's shut this down, and then I would like you to send me an invitation so we can talk.
Okay. It'll give me a little bit of give me a little bit of time to kind of get myself back
No
to,
problem. I have to
and
grab.
maybe about 5, 10 minutes.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. Whenever I get the link, I'll respond. Okay.
Great.
See you
See you
soon.
in a bit.
Thank you, Barbara.
Bye.
Bye.